Okay, I'd like to call our meeting to order. Please join me with the flag salute.
States to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Can we have a roll call, please?
Committee Member Forcroy, or Director Forcroy.
I'm here.
Director Gatchell.
Here.
Director Womack.
Present.
Vice President Ohilski. President Sesenia.
Hey, thank you. Welcome to our October board meeting. I'm glad we have a few people here tonight. Our next agenda item is public hearing to adopt ordinance to amend Title 2.06 to update provisions of water shortage contingency plan. So is that a public hearing that I have to open?
Yeah. Okay. Second reading, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just.
So does, I guess we'll open the public hearing.
There you go. I do have a presentation for you to kind of recap where we've been on this project. A little bit of background. At the August 3rd board meeting, I presented the water shortage contingency plan. We reviewed it, and I made some recommended changes. The board at the September 7th meeting conceptually approved those. So we have duly noticed the changes because it does have to be a public hearing to make an ordinance change. With that, I'm just going to jump right into the changes that we propose. These should be a little bit familiar to you from our last presentation. We're proposing to change the percent reductions in the different stages of the plan. This is based on going back and looking at what the new three-year average is for residential customers to kind of update it. Because as you know, our water service area has been doing a wonderful job doing conserving water. So this will be a little bit more reflective of how we actually use water.
So are we punishing them for doing a good job?
You have to understand that if you're in a water shortage situation, there is no punishment. It's a necessity. That would come in how we allocate water if we get into mandatory rationing, like in stage three. Okay. Do you want to note that Director Sasania just arrived? Yes.
Oh, you've got the wrong name plaque there. Switcheroo.
Again, these are just minor modifications in the actual way the percent reduction modifications would work. The next couple are how we enter and exit stages. This one keeps the way we enter currently, which is by accumulation of rainfall as it relates to average over a period of time. But as we discussed, and I want to point out, we did take this to the Utility Advisor Committee as well, and they supported these recommendations. That we also add a data point using the BMC spring water level metric, so that if we're seeing that the basin's holding its own or responding, actually going up, we don't want to impose, go into a further stage of our water shortage plan. I think this is going to be where we head in the future as we have more confidence in the metrics coming from the BMC. We're adding the water level metric here as well, but I wanted to change, include the word, I mean, equivalent. Before, we could have, like this past year, 2 years ago, we had below average rainfall, about 13 some odd inches. And then we have a rainfall year of 34 inches. If you add those together, it would say that, you know, the equivalent of that would take us out of a stage. Because the way it is currently written, we've been in stage three since 2015 because we've never had two consecutive years of average or above rainfall. So this is, again, not to keep the community, our water service area in a stage, when it really doesn't seem like we need it, especially with the water level metric being in that mix as well. And I do want to point out all of these would come to the board. It's not a shall, it's more of a should. And it's really discretionary by the board if and when we go into the different stages. These are guidelines. There were a few prohibitions we wanted to eliminate. This one, water main flushing can only occur in emergency if declared by the general manager. If you recall, that I thought this was more of an operational decision and really didn't need to be in the code. So I'm recommending taking it out. There's this oddball one about allocations being transferred to another property. This is a legacy one. I'm not quite sure when it would come into play for us. If it ever comes back, we could always add it, but unnecessary at this point in time. This one we're recommending because it's limiting landscape to hours per day and days per week, and we don't have the resources to enforce this. And this was included back at a time when this was a popular thing to have in water shortage plans around the state. And it's really been proven it's not necessarily that effective. So we're recommending because one, we don't have the resources to enforce it, and two, it's questionable the effectiveness, we'd like to take it out. And then finally, the exemptions for irrigation restrictions for community recreational areas. This one would come into play when we hit the higher stages. So in that case, I think that's when we need to be able to restrict water use, and especially on outside irrigation across the board, not just for recreational areas. And the interesting thing about this one is soon the schools are going to be converting over to recycled water, and it's not going to be an issue. It may affect, well, the park's going to be converted over as well. So those were the changes. I did provide a red line version and a clean version in the agenda packet, and I can answer any questions you may have.
Questions from the board at all? Okay, so we'll need public comment on this item.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium. There's no public comment online.
Okay, we have one here in the boardroom. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. I haven't been for a long time, but I was looking at this rather late last night, and I was I'm a little confused and I missed the beginning. Are we trying to say that a level three is not our standing currently, or are we reducing some of the level three restrictions that we tried to hold? Because I know that we go with what the basin management statistics look like, but we didn't get a lot of rain into our aquifer. We got a lot of basins and reservoirs and lakes filled, but a lot of which, that was a plus. But again, I'm not sure that we have any position with weather to say that we aren't still in a severity. Thanks.
Any other public comment here in the boardroom? Okay, do you want to clarify just
yes. The other? What we're doing tonight is only changing some of the parameters in the existing water shortage contingency plan. We're not recommending going up or down in level severity levels. By doing some of the changes here, we could, but that's going to, again, be a board decision at a future date.
Okay, seeing no other public comment, we will bring it back to the board, and I'll entertain a motion at this time.
I move that the board adopt on second reading by title only ordinance 2023-02, amending title 2-06 of the district's code as presented.
I'll second.
And we will need a roll call vote, I do believe.
Yes, Director Gatchell.
Yes.
Director Womack.
Yes.
Director Forcroy.
Yes.
President Sesenia.
Yes. Okay, that passed unanimously. We'll move on to agenda item three, the general action item. Adopt resolution 2023-30, approving an interim year consumer price index increase of 2.7% for solid waste rates. Clarify to me, what does interim year mean?
Well, I am going to get into that.
Okay.
And before we begin, I want to introduce Jeff Claren. He's the general manager of the San Luis Obispo unit for Waste Connections. It's good to have him here. He's been a good partner over the years, and I've known Jeff for many, many years. So I wanted to explain what the rate setting process is. And the reason I brought this to the board mainly was so we could explain a little bit, since this is the first opportunity that the board has had to look at how the process works since we received the franchise authority back. The solid waste rate setting process is a three-year process. The first year is what they call a base year. And I want to say this is all in our franchise agreement, so it's contractual. Let me, you know, ahead of myself here. It provides procedures and processes and a schedule on how we're supposed to review rate applications, and it is binding to both the contractor and the district to determine revenue adequacy for the contractor, while ensuring that our community is also getting good service at a reasonable rate. So under the methodologies, it's a three-year process. The first year is the base year, and that application requires extensive financial information. And it's also, you know, it reviews the past expenditures, what the current, you know, where Waste Connection is financially in the current base year when it starts, and then estimate future operating expenses. And that's how you create what that rate increase would look like. And that is then the basis for the interim years. And those would be years 2 and 3. It's similar to our water rate increase we did last time. You know, we established the rate and then we did cost of living, approximate cost of livings for the next 2 years. So we did a three-year cycle. Similar to that, but it's not exactly, but that's kind of the idea behind it. So in the interim years, it's really just to adjust for consumer price index and then any other things that could go up, like pass-through costs, which are like landfill tipping fees, or there could be an extraordinary event or a regulation implemented by the state that would increase the cost to Waste Connections to provide service. So basically, interim years, you're trying to shoot for just consumer price index increase. And these are typically considered routine. They would be advertised in the Prop 218 notice so that they could be increased without really any formal action by the board. So where are we now? We're currently in the year 3 of that cycle, which began while the county still had the franchise authority for Los Osos. You know, the base year was for calendar year 2022. When we saw the increase earlier this year that had the CPI in it, along with other things, there was that retroactive increase in there that really escalated it up. But all this could change. We are negotiating a new rate setting process and procedures. And so I'll keep the board, and that's something we would adopt. So I'll keep the timing on when the next base year is up in the air right now. It could be next year, or it could be out another year or so. That's to be determined. So this one is a request based on the Bureau of Labor statistics. Basically, we used the same formula that we use for the special fire tax, which is an average between the Bay Area, I think it's San Francisco, Hayward, Oakland, and the LA area, which is Los Angeles, Anaheim, and Long Beach. And that's 2.7%. And that was in the board packet. With the letter requesting the increase, Waste Connection provide the chart from that from the website. It's important to note this would take effect January 1st, even though we're considering it right now. And then, as I said, there will be a corresponding of a decrease of about 20% from that retroactive increase. So I have a slide here in a second that will show what that looks like, and it is also in the board packet. The county, when it did the base year and then the CPI, did go through the Proposition 218 process and noted in the notice that it would be a CPI increase both in 2023 and 24. So this has been duly noticed in that Proposition 218 notice, and that's consistent with the state law on how that acts. You can go up to 5 years with increases without having to go back out to a protest vote or a Prop 218. So the rates look like this. The current rate for the smallest level of service is the $34.94. With the reduction and then the 2.7% increase, you can see it's $27.74. And then that's consistent through the rest of the levels of service. And with that, I think that's my final slide, and I can answer any questions that the board may have.
Any questions?
Go ahead. I have one. So the latest increase we just went through, was that delayed because of COVID?
No, that was a series of things.
Okay.
I could go back through the history. You know, Waste Connections submitted their application to the county in 2021, in October, and the county kind of drug its feet on it, finally engaged a third-party consultant to analyze it, and then there was just delays that happened. And so it took over a year to get that approved.
Okay. So my next question is it up? It's up for 2023 to have a new submission for?
No. Right now we're in, like I explained, the interim year. We're in the last interim year of that 3-year cycle. So if we stick to the schedule we have right now, we would see another base year application from Mission Country Disposal later this year, like in the late summer, early fall, for implementation in 2025.
Okay. So it's not like immediately next year we could see more increases?
No.
Okay.
We're hoping we looked at everything that Mission Country Disposal was going through in terms of having to buy new trucks and a lot of other things that were, a lot of it was regulatory.
Right. I remember.
We're hoping not to see increases like those again.
Okay, good. I am also hoping.
Yeah.
I guess one thing I just want to clarify is the current service rate includes the retroactive fees, because this is something I've been trying to explain all around town, because obviously the rates went way up, but they're due to come back down some at the end of 2023, right?
Correct. December 31st is when it's
sunsets. So these percentages, the 2.7 would apply to that reduced when the retro is rolled off of it. It would apply to that rate.
Yes.
So like the number that's missing in there is it would fall to $27.01. And then I think is on the sheet, and then the 2.7% brings it to 27.74.
Yeah, I don't have all the numbers that,
but it comes down and then
yes,
it comes up a little.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. It's being applied to the rate minus the retroactive increase.
And you did put that in there. I remember seeing it.
Yeah, it's on.
So
on
it's
one
like
of the
up again 74 cents or something.
Oh, yeah, I do that.
Yeah. Well, for that one. Yeah.
Right.
So the other question I have is, so what we're doing right now, I mean, we're looking to vote about this, but normally that would just be applied and
let's say we were in back in 2022 when the base year was established, we would have done a Prop 218 notice that said, and the counties did say, but what the other nuance here is when we supported the process the county was doing, we only approved the 2023 in our resolution. We didn't approve the 2024.
Oh.
So when I went back and looked at that, on a technicality, I just wanted to make sure that everything was transparent in the ocean.
But typically these interim CPI increases, we wouldn't really look at those. They would just happen.
They would just happen, similar to our water rate increase.
Okay. Yeah. So basically it's already been decided.
Right. And then Connections would notify in their billing that the rate increase is coming.
Sure.
There is that notification.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to make sure that's kind of out there. It's like we're doing this for technical voting reasons, right?
Right.
The choice has already been made.
Yes. It's contractual.
Yes.
Yeah, I have. So I pulled up the Board of Supervisors agreement that they did in 2022 vote. So there's an 82% increase in 2022, which was a shock to a lot of people. It says in here the base rate increase was 41% for a lot of reasons that they listed, you know, labor, trucks, and insurance, like you mentioned, and a bunch of other stuff. A 23 CPI increase of 9.9% and a temporary short-term rate increase due to delayed rate implementation. Right. They don't say that's added a percentage in here, but that would be about 30%. So if you take round up 42 and 10 to about 30%. But we're only decreasing that short term by 20%. So where's the other 10%? Then we're going to add a 2.7. So to me, that's like 12.7% that we're keeping.
Right. I had the same question for Waste Connections, and we went through their spreadsheet. And I don't know, Jeff, if you've got it, could explain it. Because, yeah.
There's 10% missing.
It's not really missing. And I have the spreadsheet because I was questioning the same thing.
Yeah, good evening, board members. Jeff Claren here with Waste Connections, the Missing Country Disposal. Ron is correct. I think when you do look at the percentages, it does look, it's like percentages and numbers. So when you actually do the number itself and reduce it by the percentages, and then you have to, when you subtract everything out and then you redo the percentages, it does not equal to that 30%. It equals to that 20% where it is. But if you follow the math on the numbers, it's correct. It's like apples to apples. It's not apples to apples to go percentage and numbers.
Right. And I can provide you with the spreadsheet because yeah. Once I went through it and they explained it, I go, okay. It's hard to explain back. But it's trying to mix percentages and numbers, like Jeff said.
Yeah. I mean, the board of supervisor, you know, document here is all percentages. So there's like no real numbers in here, but right. Now we're doing numbers, not percentages. So.
Right.
We actually use just the current values of what that was. And we actually started before the 40%. So we went with the 40% with the exact number before that, added the 40%. Then we added the 9.07 for the CPI. And then the short-term retroactive was added to that number. And then what we ended up doing is it gave you numbers to that percentage. And at the same time, too, we came back. We knew December 31st, the retro piece was going to come off. And that math came to a number. And then we redid the percentage. And it is a little bit different, but the numbers follow.
So when we say we're in a budget surplus, that's why we're going to take that retroactive off now.
No, it was to make them whole. The retro was because based on the amount of time it was taking, we agreed upon the rate should have been implemented July 1st, 2022.
January of 2022. Oh, yeah, July. I'm sorry. You're right.
July of 2022. And so because they were losing money or not losing, but
not recognizing
the revenue needs that were there. That was to make up for that time lapse of before it could go into effect, to make up for that revenue loss that they were experiencing. Because at the end of the day, when we get to a base year, you'll see, you know, there's the, you know, part of what I said, revenue adequacy. Again, contractually, they are entitled to make 7% profit on allowable costs. And we'll go through that when we get to that. Pass-through costs are things they're not allowed to make profit, and that's like tipping fees and other types of fees like that. And so with the expenditures, like you were noting there, Troy, in the county report, those were the things that added up to that 41%.
Yeah.
And then in that was the CPI, and then in that was the retroactive to make up for that revenue loss that they were experiencing.
Yeah, they have in here that 40%. 9% was negative 8 for 2020 and 24% for 2021.
Right.
And then they added another 9% for the 2023 CPI, right. And another 30% for short term.
Right. But it you're seeing percentages, and what Jeff's saying is they were working with numbers, and then the percentages were generated from the numbers.
Almost like compounding interest. A percent times a percent gets a little bit different.
But you have a spreadsheet you think that kind of explains this that you could share with Troy and the rest of us. Okay. And then if we have further questions, maybe we can.
I mean, from a community standpoint, for me, it's hard to vote for an increase when it's so shocking to the community and the impact it has.
You have to understand if it's agreed on that the numbers are correct contractually. If you don't, then what do you do?
Yep. Understand.
They could stop providing service.
And we did it in good faith. You know, we were supposed to get this in July of 22. We never asked for any interest. We just said, you know, as long as we kind of get the money that we were asking for, We pushed the county a lot to see if we can kind of get this on the agenda. So in good faith, we still never stop service. I mean, that's one of our goals, is to provide customer service with their drivers. And we kept going. You know, unfortunately, it was a year and a half later until the rate increase came in. Yeah. And then that's very difficult when you see that big of a number of a shock. That's what we worked with the county to kind of make sure everyone was kind of whole.
So that's a real thing. They can just stop service if the contract isn't.
Not if they've in good faith abided by what the rate setting process asks for.
Because there's no other service providers in the county, correct?
Or are there? In North County, there.
North County. For us, there's not, though.
Not south of the grade or North Coast.
Where does our trash go? Which landfill?
Cold Canyon.
Cold Canyon? Yeah, who owns Cold Canyon?
Waste Connections.
I hope the county's easier to work with in the future.
Well, it's ours. They deal with us.
Well, that's right? True. Okay, they're done. Right.
Well, you got to remember, too, there was a little bit of the IDMA in that as well when they split from the county. So there was part of that as well. So
it was a confusing year and a half.
That is correct. So.
Okay, so no further questions from the board. We'll go to public comment for agenda item 3.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium.
We have one in the boardroom. Go ahead.
Lindy Owen. I continue with confusion because it's been kind of a confusing changes and everything, but I read in the Tribune today that the county is giving up and going back to the
IWMA.
And so that's interesting, and it's going to save ratepayer 7% because they're not very competent and they didn't do they weren't able to pull it off, I think. So I'm very glad to see that, because I think the IWM has cleaned up its act a lot too. So hopefully things will go smoothly in the future. But I guess I'm a little confused, because what is Waste Connections versus Mission Country. Mission Country is under Waste Connections, and that's the overall. And so are we under the county? Do we have any obligation to them except to pay them back for the franchise they took?
I'll answer you when we're done.
What?
I'll answer you when we're done.
Okay. Those are my confusions. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindy.
Any other public comment tonight?
There's none online.
Okay. And no other in the boardroom. Yeah, take a stab at
that. Well, Mission Country Disposal is under the umbrella of Waste Connections. It's a national corporation. They service areas across the country. And they also have San Luis Garbage, Morro Bay Garbage, South County. So they operate all these subsidiaries, I guess that you could call them. And nothing to do with the county now. The county has their own contracts with those different entities under Waste Connections, but they're not associated with us in any way.
Okay, no further public comment. I will entertain that motion.
I move that the board adopt resolution number 2023-30, increasing solid waste rates by 2.7% for the interim year 2024, effective on January 1st, 2024.
I'll second.
And Director Womack. Oh, sorry.
No. It's a resolution, so we do need a roll call vote. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah. Director Womack.
Yes.
Director Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Gatchell.
Yes.
President Sesenia.
Yes. Okay, that carried unanimously. And so we'll go on to agenda item 4, public comment for items not on the agenda.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium.
We have one in the boardroom, at least.
And the clock's on 1:45, and I may need more than that.
Sorry.
That's okay. Richard Margetson. Next Thursday at the community center on the 12th is the People Helping People Awards dinner, pizza party. And we're so busy, or we've been doing so many things this year that as president, it got by me that last year was our 50th anniversary. So we're celebrating not only the award winners, but also our 50th anniversary. And I'm going to give a little history lesson of People Helping People, where we were, where we are, and things we've done. And just for, if the board's interested, we have four of our award winners sitting here in the room. Chuck was Person of the Year 2 years ago. Ron was Lifetime Achievement 2 years ago. Chuck Cribbs and Carol Cribbs were, that was what, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, something like that. They were Volunteers of the Year. And Lindy Owen has been our Volunteer of the Year in the past. So a good portion of this room is People Helping People related. I've asked most of the previous award winners to come this year because it's our 50th anniversary and we want to acknowledge them. When I took over presidency 11 years ago, I wanted these awards to mean something and hang in our office to remember people that had gotten the organization to where we are now. And, you know, one plaque especially, I'm glad we established, and that was a Lifetime Achievement Award. And when I took the plaque into the trophy place that there does our awards, of the 11 names on there, only two are still with us. So, and this year's recipient is in memoriam too, somebody from the past that we're recognizing. So if anybody wants to come, I know Chuck's going to be there, Lindy and Chuck. Ron hasn't let me know yet. 5 o'clock, the doors open. 6 o'clock, we eat. You have to listen to me for a while after we eat, and you'll probably be home by 8 o'clock. So thank you.
Yes.
Lindy again. I just thought I'd jump up, put out a quick idea. I've been, and a number of people have been concerned about the announcement sign for the community center that's at LOVR in Palisades. It's kind of like pale yellow and it has old kind of fallen to pieces lettering on it, which basically announces all the activities at the community center and different things that are going on in the park area too. So there's been a movement to see about, and what happened is when the traffic signals were put in there, the county just didn't really notice that they blocked our sign. So there's a signal pole right in the middle of it. As you're driving through the light, you can kind of see it. But so Gary Katayama is working with the community center, and we've sort of taken it up, and we'll be proposing it to the county to see about getting permission to move it over so that it actually sits where we can see it. One side is totally visible, but as you're going south, you can't see most of it. And then at the same time, it looks like it probably is celebrating at least 40 years. It's really outdated and pretty funky for Los Osos. And so we're hoping to see if we could make a little bit more attractive looking sign too. So just throwing it out as an idea, if anybody wants to get behind it, we sure could use some support because it's always a big project to do something like that in Los Osos. Thanks.
I'll just add a comment for that. The county is also doing a Los Osos road improvement, and you can go online to where you can see the map of LOVR and make public comments on signals and stuff like that. So that might be a good area as they work on that project for the LOVR corridor mm-hmm. through town.
Yeah, that project will probably sit in about
10 years. Yeah, well, that's another area you can do public comment to the county.
The fourth or seventh project will see the LOVR. Thanks.
It would be nice to have something other than a manual operated signboard out there. Okay, so we had no public comment online, I take it. And so is there anything there you wanted to address? I don't think I heard anything. Okay, so we'll go on to administrative and committee reports. Fire department's report. Is the chief with us tonight?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Great. Yes.
All right. Perfect. All right. Reporting you live from my pickup truck, but I'll go ahead and start with the statistical report. For the reporting period, we're looking at 111 calls, 72 medical aids. So predominantly medicals. We've had some refuse fires and some reports of burning, which typically tend to turn out to be barbecues. But nothing real significant for this reporting period. Looks like our auto aid that we've given to other agencies and aid that's come in is kind of remaining proportional. There is a spike 8 times that the county came out to help us. That's going to be due to our multi-company training that we've been doing and county engines coming in to cover behind us, affording us the opportunity to go out and train. So that is the statistical report. Like I said, pretty uneventful. Nothing crazy happened. Any questions on the statistical report?
Anything here? Okay. No. Nope.
Very good. I'll go ahead and move on to the board report. So primarily what we had a lot of is we're able to get back out in the community finally, and we're really starting, looks like we're starting to integrate with the community well and participate in events. There's a list of events there. We attended the Olympia Cultural Festival, the Rotary Fun Day, the Veterans Day ceremonies at the park that we do every year, the cultural fair at St. Elizabeth's Church. So it's just good to get up back out there and be fully functioning with the community again. Coming up this week, we're going to be doing some physical agility testing and interviews for prospective reserve firefighters. I believe we have about 8 applicants that we're hoping to do physical agility testing and interviews for. Looking like we've got a pretty good group, so we'll see how that goes. Coming up on the 12th, we're going to participate in the Alicia Ann Roush burn relay. That'll be coming into the county on the north end. They'll slowly make their way through, and we'll catch them as they come into the response area into the South Bay community. And we'll go out to Monarch Grove Elementary School and do a little show and tell out there. And then we'll escort the relay as they head off towards San Luis Obispo. With some of the new employees that we have at the station, I'm going to be sending 2 of them to surf rescue class, try to get them certified as rescue swimmers, which will bolster our abilities to provide rescue services here in the community. Some things that didn't make the report, just a little update on our medic squad. They have officially started tearing in and replacing the motor. They just pulled the engine out today. They have all the parts, so I'm hoping sometime next week I'll get that magical phone call that tells me it's ready to go. As far as our fire engine, it's still in for warranty repair. They called me today, and they said it was ready to go, and I asked them if they checked everything out, and they missed a couple things, so hopefully it'll only be another couple days, and we can finally get our engine back. Coming up also this week, we're going to be doing hose testing out at St. Elizabeth's Church. They've been gracious enough to allow us to use their parking lot. We're trying something with a third-party testing company that's going to come in and give us better representation of where we're at with our fire hose complements and where it's at in its service life. The entire county is switching to this service. It's a service that I was used quite a bit when from where I came from up in Santa Clara County. It does a lot of different things. One, it gives us good, accurate third-party testing, which we already do for our ladders and our self-contained breathing apparatus. But it puts less risk on our employees. It's very physically arduous to take all the stuff off the fire engine and put it on. There's a lot of risk for either falling off the engine or just causing general strains and sprains of loading that hose on and off the engine. So we kind of take that liability off the employees or onus off the employees and put it on this third party, making sure that we're available for response at full force. And as you know, we've had some challenges with staffing levels just due to injuries and vacancies, and we're finally starting to get to a point where we're whole again. So I'd like to keep everybody healthy. With that, that's the end of my report.
Any questions from the board?
If I could add real quick, because I didn't stick it in my GM report and Paul didn't mention it, we did kick off the standard cover study. We provided them with, I think, 99% of the information they need. I think we'll have our actual kickoff meeting with the consultant next week. So just want to let everyone know it's underway.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Chief Robbins.
You got it.
Okay. Sheriff's Department report. Is Sergeant Coitus with us?
Good evening. It's actually Sergeant Slaughter. Sergeant Coy's moved to the other side of the week. So I am one of our new sergeants here at the station, and we'll be attending the for these reports. So in Los Osos, last month we had 75 calls for service. That's pretty comparable to last year. We had about 71. Four of those calls were assault and battery. I took a glance at those. Those appear to be really amongst a victim and a suspect that both knew each other, as opposed to like a random assault in the community. We had 40 calls for disturbances. We had 8 calls related to theft, 1 call related to burglary, about 5 for vandalism, 1 for mail theft, which was actually a month old, 2 phone scam reports, 21 suspicious circumstances. Out of those, there were 3 reports drawn, 2 of which were mental health related. And 1 was probably family related, maybe a family dynamic going on there. We had 74 enforcement stops. Out of those, 12 were pedestrian stops, and then there were 62 traffic stops. And we had 36 preventative patrol calls. So that would involve like foot patrol or patrol checks of an area that there had been issues previously. Out of all that, I made mention of the 1 burglary report. It was a theft of tools from one of our businesses out here. And then there were a couple of shopliftings. There were 2 reports of shopliftings, and 1 person was arrested in the course of that investigation.
I think we lost the sheriff.
Okay, I'm here. And that is the end of my report. Do you have any questions for me?
Okay. Thank you. Any questions from the board? Okay, great. Thank you. Highway Patrol.
Thank you. Yeah, good evening, Lieutenant Tim Santor with you guys this evening. Hope everybody's doing well. Got just a really quick report for you guys tonight. It was actually a pretty pretty slow month for us out there in Los Osos, which is a good thing. We ended up with 4 total traffic collisions. One of them being a non-injury, and the other 3 were a very minor injury collisions with nobody transported out any of them. So yeah, it's a nice quiet month out there, and we're looking forward to it. Got any questions from anybody?
Anything from the board? No. Good. We're glad it was off to a quiet start of the school year.
Yes, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Utilities Department report.
I'm just going to touch on a couple of things here. We did put out to bid the well equipping phase of the program C well, the Bay Oaks well. Hartzell, general engineering contractor, was low bid, came in just over the engineering estimate, which was nice. It's also nice that we have the same contractor doing the transmission main and the well equipping part. So there won't be any conflict of coordination, as those 2 projects do have to connect. We are lagging a little bit in time on the transmission main. We switched from trenching to horizontal boring to get under LOVR, and we're looking at maybe continuing that down Mountain View because high groundwater. So we're just trying to work through the elevation changes that would make from moving from trenching to horizontal boring. The big one for the community, especially the neighborhood around 16th Street North Tank, is it's going to start. I have December, what did I put in here, 18th as the started, or no, October 16th. It's actually going to start Monday, October 9th. So we did all our noticing up there to get those neighborhoods ready for the noise. We stressed with the contractor on staying on schedule. I have a good feeling about this contractor. They're going to complete all the work in 2 months, where the last project took over 4 months. And so we're hoping to really tighten this one up schedule wise. And then basically October is going to be a busy month. We're going to start the Skyline groundwater monitoring well. I think that's going to kick off on October 16th. So a lot of projects starting here this month. So we'll have more to report on that. That's all I had on the utility side on my GM report. Or wanted to update on the annual financial audit that it's underway. The auditors were in the office for 3 days in September, late September. Every preliminary results look very, very good again. So we're excited about that. We'll have a draft report for me and staff to review in November. It'll go to FAC in December and to the board at your January meeting. If we can stay on schedule. We did release our water resiliency intertie project initial study and mitigated negative declaration. That hit the streets on September 27th. We have a 30-day public review and comment period that ends October 27th. We'll have to respond to comments, so we'll be bringing that back for the board to look at the December meeting. And then finally, I want to recognize Margaret for her years of service. She had an anniversary, 17 years. So we're just very happy that she left, came back, and we're enjoying having her on staff. And with that, I can answer any questions.
Questions from the board. Thank you, Margaret, for 17 years. It's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. We have Chamber of Commerce. Marshall's not here. We probably don't have anything for Chamber of Commerce tonight. Community Advisory Council. I gave that report last week. The takeaway from that meeting for me was that we're going to be seeing more guest house and remodel applications coming through. Into Mitchell, there's a big remodel proposed. Now, none of these, I think, have gone to the Coastal Commission. They're probably working their way through the county process. The Anastasi plat map was back. That's the big parcel between the driving range for Sea Pines. And it was just, I think, a procedural move that they have to do probably ever so often. It's coming back to the LOCAC at some point in the future, and I'm not sure what the status will be at that point. I don't think there's an application that's been filed.
Well, my understanding is that they have, through all the different ways you can extend the deadline, they have one more year.
Okay. Yeah, and there was some comment from S&T about the plat map not recognizing their easements, and interesting. There's a lot going on that was interesting to talk about. But I think that you'll be seeing more permitted projects probably coming through, or at least going to the Coastal Commission. Let's see, Parks and Recreation. No meeting this week. This month.
Yeah. Sounds like our next meeting's in probably November.
Okay. Utility Advisory Committee report kind of hit the nail on the head. Our projects are moving, and
And I did provide a revenue summary.
Oh, that's
revenue
right.
Summary from last fiscal year, because there was a lot of interest by the UAC on that. short answer to what the revenue picture looks like is we had over $800,000 in grant funds that saved our $250,000 in the red from decreased water sales. So we actually came out good.
Finance Advisory Committee, Monday.
So I was a little under the weather, so Chuck.
I filled in.
Thank you, Chuck.
Met new committee member, Mr. Cribbs, and actually had four committee members there. It was pretty awesome. It was nice to meet everyone. Basically, we're coming up to speed with the new committee members and looking at our financial reports and learning the formats. And me too. I was the first.
You did a fine job, Chuck.
That I've been to. And just calling out the larger of the warrants in a little special section so that people don't really have to search to say, wow, that's a big check. What was that for? It was all good. Some of the committee members had suggestions for how we could spend the income that we're going to be making off the investments that we've recently branched out into. So it'll be interesting. We're going to hear a lot more from that committee, I'm sure, in the future. Emergency services. No meeting this month.
No.
And basin management did not meet this month. It was everybody was on vacation that year. Director's announcements of district community interest, reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and so forth. Anything that anybody wants to bring up?
I guess part of the chamber, the Oktoberfest will be the last Sunday of the month in October to remind people of that. So that's happening and on the way with the chamber. This is the committee.
Next, the first Sunday of, so it'll be before our next meeting. The first Sunday of November, again at the community center, there'll be another benefit concert, this time for the community center and Kiwanis and Rotary, I believe, are the beneficiaries this time. This is the third in a series of three that have benefited the community center and one of the other nonprofits in town. I think last Sunday was the Estero Bay, the Estero Area Kindness Coalition, and they had a wonderful raffle. Things went well. Somebody is spending two nights at Tree Bones as part of the raffle, and then McCall's Ranch, a fancy place up in Cambria. Some good raffle prizes. So that first Sunday in November, there'll be another. And then don't forget the People Helping People meeting next Thursday at 5 o'clock. And let's see, previously asked questions. I don't think we've been keeping up with that. Okay, so does anyone want to pull anything from the consent agenda before we move on to public comment for that? It looks pretty light, as a matter of fact, tonight. Okay, public comment for items on the administrative committee reports and the consent agenda.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium. There is no public comment. Oh, hold on. I have public comment online. Lynette, you just have to unmute yourself.
Hi, Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. Thank you for all the reports. I wondered, Chuck, if you could expand a little bit what South Bay Community Center intends to do with the money that they make off of these three fundraisers. I think that would be of community interest. Thanks.
Sure. I should have mentioned that. It's my understanding that we're hoping to upgrade the emergency service capabilities there so that we're ready the next time we have a true emergency. We need an evacuation center, that kind of thing. As you know, last January, electricity was out, so we didn't even have lights for people if they had been able to evacuate there. So we want to maybe look at generators, just every way that we can to fully meet emergency service needs in the community, make it a full-on community service center. And so that's kind of the long-term goal. It may be that these three concerts do more than fund a grant writer to look for a big opportunity, because it's going to take some heavy lifting to do that. And so this is the start of that process. That message sign that Lindy mentioned earlier, that probably all could be wrapped into this sort of thing. That could be part of your emergency response plan, a digital sign there. So that's the big picture, I think, at the community center. Thanks for asking. Okay, no further public comment. We'll look for a motion to approve the
Okay, I'll make a motion that the board receive and file the administrative committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
Thank you for filling in for Marshall.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
I have to do a roll call.
Oh, we do.
There's a resolution.
We have a resolution about the destruction of the records. That's right.
Director Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Gatchell.
Yes.
Director Womack?
Yes.
President Sesenia?
Yes. Thank you for keeping us on the up and up again. Okay, future agenda items. Anyone have anything that they want to add to Ron's list, which is constantly evolving? And oh, you know, one thing I should have mentioned, the ad hoc committee that Matthew and I put together to talk about the repairs at the Brayson that failed. We get together and met with Ron. We had some suggestions for moving forward. We're going to be trying to put together a letter to the county outlining kind of what we think the steps are. There's further remedial work, maybe on the part that didn't fail, that we're going to have to do some further maintenance. And so that committee did meet and furthered some recommendations onto Ron. And you'll hear more from that in the future. Almost forgot that one. And with that, we'll adjourn in almost record time without even trying. Uh-huh.